the rush.
Correct. That the rush in Siman Lamed points out in other words, after he brings the story in Siman Lamed of the Sfina, so he points out that Kein Hayesa Hamatana Shekol Echod Yitneu Lechaveiro V'Yachzirehu Lebasof V'Tzarach Sheyitneu Lo B'Matana Gemura Amanas LaHachzir. That's a summary of the Gemara. And then he adds in a sentence, Va'achar sheyetsevo, tzarech lachzor v'litna lo b'matana bishas chazara. Namely, that the act of returning the object to its owner is an act of a kinyan. It's a matana. Aval im amar lo yehei matana ad sheteitsevo v'achar kach yeh sheli kivatchila. But if he wants it simply to go back automatically, then lo yotza. Then it never really left the reshus of the first individual. It was just loaned to the second individual, Davi Kamos Shaul, and therefore is no good. Namely, this is a chiddush of the Rush. That the Rush says that when you give a matam amanas lahachzir, there have to be two kinyanim. Kinyan number one, when it goes from the owner to the mekabel matana. And then after the mekabel matana is yotze, we need kinyan number two. He has to be makna it back to the original owner. It doesn't return automatically. Were there not to be a hakna'a, then it turns out that it was simply borrowed by the middleman and is invalid. The Ktzos jumps on this rush and feels that the rush is wrong. Well, before we say that the rush is wrong, let's just see that the rush lechora has a very, very powerful ra'ya. That the Rush says the miteda mirakamar lekaman lo likni inish lulavia liyinuka biyomatava kama, you shouldn't give a matana amanas lahachzir to a tinok on the first day. Diyinuka makni kani, because he could certainly be kona it, but aknuye lo makni, he can't be makne. A katan doesn't have a power of hakna'a. Viyemeno tzarach lahachzir lo b'matana nehid katan labar aknuyehu. Were we to say that you simply have one kinyan and then it returns automatically like a boomerang, who cares that the katan has no power of hakna? There's no need for a second hakna. So we see black and white in the Gemara that there's a need for a second hakna. So the Ktzos jumps on the Rush and says that the Rush is positing that there are two ways of understanding matana al manas lahachzir. One way is that we have over here that first kinyan is a kinyan olamis. It's a kinyan that's going to continue on and on and on and on, but there's a tanai, almanas lahachzir, like any other tanai, like if you jump rope, like if it's going to rain tomorrow, if you sell me something else, any sort of a tanai, we have a tanai. And that tanai consists of being makne it back. So therefore, the second kinyan is a necessary condition in order that the matana be chal. The matana is only chal al tanai, and the tanai is that there's going to be a second kinyan. But the first kinyan is a kinyan olami. Or do we view this like a kinyan lizman that we saw earlier was a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ravid as to what is the nature of a kinyan lizman? The Rambam said, Vadai it's ba'alut gemura. It works totally. The Ravid waffled. He wasn't sure. Maybe it's only if it's long term. Maybe it's only if it's to you and then to the next person afterwards. Maybe only by a matana, not by a mecher. Right? The Ravid was not certain in terms of the nature of a kinyan olam, of a kinyan lizman. And of these two, right, the nafgamina between the two approaches is: do you need a second hakna'a, or does it go automatically? The Rush chose the first of the approaches. And the Ktzos feels, al pisvara, that the second approach makes in other words, makes more sense. That the second approach that we have over here, a kinyan lizman, and it goes back automatically, and he just goes on and on to point out that a kinyan lizman works as ba'alut. Very strangely, he doesn't quote the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira. I'm not sure exactly why he doesn't quote the Rambam, because he quotes, you know, all the Gemaras that the Rambam is based on, but he doesn't quote the Rambam. And he says, I couldn't find anyone who learns like me. Not who learns like me that a kinyan lizman is bailus, but I couldn't find anyone who understands matana amanas lahachzir like me, until I found in the Shut HaRosh Rav Avigdor HaKohen. Right? That's in the page that I gave you. So first he quotes the Rosh in the first paragraph, and then and points out that the Ritva is a partner with the Rosh. Then he says, had the Ritva and the Rosh not learned the way they learned, he would have understood it as a kinyan lizman, and quotes the Makoros in the Gemaras, in terms of kinyan lizman. Ela, in the third paragraph, lo matzasi li rav bazeh, I couldn't find a Rishon who would say that matana amanas lahachzir is a kinyan lizman, and I finally found Rav Avigdor HaKohen, who learns this way in a tshuva of the Rosh, and therefore, the only problem that we have is, what do I now do with the Gemara about Katan? Right? Why shouldn't you give a Matanas HaHachzir to a Katan? There's no need for a second Kinyan. And he says, Ulafi zet tzarech lomar, ha da amru lalikni in a shlugel of a Katan, hainav a maknes tam, below shum shiur. Who says that talking about Matanas HaHachzir? It says you shouldn't give the Katan a Matana expecting him to be nice and give you back a Matana back, because he can't give you a Matana back, and so you basically have lost your Arba Minim. They go down this black hole called a Katan. But in a Chinami, if we would have had a black and white Matana Sahasir by a Katan, then it would have worked without any problem. Okay? So we have then these two options, yes?
Katan
has enough da'as to be kone, metaltalim. He doesn't have enough da'as to be makne, metaltalim. So if you give something to a katan, matana masla haksir, the Rosh says, and the Gemara says, that you're stuck. It's going to stay by the katan. So the Rosh is medayek, that kanered, that the matana masla haksir requires a second takna, a hakna back. And that's the Rosh Hashita. The Ksosa doesn't learn like the Rosh, who understands Matan Asa Hachzir, there's no second Kinyan. It returns automatically. What does he do with Katan? He learns Katan as a Matan Astam, not a Matan Asa Hachzir. Okay? Okay, that's left over from the last year. So let's go on in the Gemara. The Gemara then asks, why does the story of Rabbi Gamliel mention that he purchased it for 1,000 zuz, lohodiyacha kama mitzvos chavivos alehen. Alatar, the Gideon Hashas, sends you to a Tosfos in Baba Kama. That Tosfos in Baba Kama points out that when we're dealing in the realm of mitzvos asei, there's no need to suffer a hefsed. In the world of mitzvahs lo sa'aseh, there's no heter to do it, to be over mitzvahs lo sa'aseh, because the hefsed mamam. In other words, the fact that kosher meat costs more than non-kosher meat is not a heter to buy non-kosher meat, even if though there's going to be a hefsed mamam. We don't care in the world of mitzvahs lo sa'aseh. But in the world of mitzvahs aseh, we have a glass ceiling, right? In other words, the Gemara speaks about shlish, about chomesh, that you don't have to spend more than a certain amount of money for a mitzvah saseh, even if it's a mitzvah overis, and Tosfos himself gives the example of esrog. So why then did Rabbi Gamliel put out 1,000 zuz for this esrog? Clearly we're dealing with that which is beyond the chomesh, that which is beyond a shlish, etc. So Tosfos was bothered by the question and points out, choshev le'revusa de Rabbi Gamliel, Shekona Esrog be'elav zuz. Namely, the Chiddush is that we don't view Rabbi Gamliel as a chassid shota. We saw that when people sometimes go overboard, they can go so far overboard that the Torah views them as foolish. And so over here, the Gemara is saying, no, Rabbi Gamliel spending a thousand zuz, that's a hidur. It's a revusa. It's something which is good. Namely, that even though sitting in a sukkah in the rain, you'd be considered to be a chassid shota, but to pay 1,000 zuz for an esrog, that's already a mitzvah min hamufchar. That even though we have a heter of a glass ceiling that would exempt you from pushing yourself in mitzvah saseh, but if you decide that that's what you want to do, then kol hakavod. Right? Rav Moshe's first tshuva in, I think, his third volume of Orach Chaim dealt with a person who was going to be a insurance agent out in Denver, Colorado. But in order to become the insurance agent in Denver, Colorado, he had to first go for an interview in the main company, where if he wore his yarmulke, he wouldn't get the job. So the question was, could he go to the interview without his yarmulke in order to be able to get a job that would allow him to wear a yarmulke? And so Rav Moshe paskin that he would be allowed to, because even if we view wearing a yarmulke as an asay, midrabanan, as opposed to a minhag, but there's a glass ceiling in terms of how much hefsed you would have to lose to be mekayim the mitzvah. And so Rav Moshe felt that it was worth it for him to take off the yarmulke for the interview in order to be able to get the job. Okay, so that's that Tosfos. Then the Gemara moves over to Amemar, right? That Amemar's son, Mar Bar Amemar, told Rav Ashi that Abba, that Amemar, Tzuliyei Kamatz Libe, he would hold the Arba Minim during Shmona Esrei. The Gemara was bothered, we have halacha, you shouldn't hold Cheftzos during davening, even Cheftzos Shal Mitzvah, by Tfilin and Sefer Torah, because of the issue of Tirda. So the Gemara answers, there's a difference. Hasam lav mitzvah ninhu v'tarid behu. Hacha mitzvah ninhu v'lo tarid behu. That holding tefillin in your hands, you're not mekayim a mitzvah. Holding a sefer Torah, there's no mitzvah. And therefore that is like pure tirda. Mashen came by us, it's a mitzvah, and therefore lo tarid. There's a mitzvah of lekichas arba minim. So here we have a machlokas between Rashi and the Ritva as to what is the answer of our Gemara. Rashi reads that over there, hacha, and we'll start with the Sefer Torah and the tefillin. Again, the tefillin are being held, they're not being worn. Lav mitzvah ninhu, la'ochazan, v'havyin alav l'masa, Lefikach tarud b'masa'am, v'kaved olav masa'am, u shmiratam. That in the world that the Braisa mentions of what you shouldn't hold during davening, we view all of those as burdens. Those burdens create a tirda, and that tirda will interfere with your kavana in davening. A fear that you may drop the Sefer Torah, you may drop the tefillin, the money, the knife, etc., etc. However, by us, hacha netilasa lukichasa mitzvahi, umitoch shechaviva mitzvah alav, ein masa'a vishimura kaved alav, velotarid. Well, Rashi, on the surface, appears to say, is that by us, the chavivus ha-mitzvah makes it a situation where there is no tirda. It's no longer, it's not a masa, it's not kaved. There is no fear of dropping it. There is no fear of dropping it. And so since there's no, because of the mitzvah, he has no fear of dropping it. And because he has no fear of dropping it, so it doesn't interfere with his kavana. The Ritva says he has no idea what Rashi is talking about. Lo yaradnu lasof daito. Devadei kol shekein mitoch chavivus ha-mitzvah yiten libo belulav. L'chora, doesn't chaviv of a mitzvah mean that he cares about his arba minim? And if he cares about them, wouldn't he also be concerned lest they drop and that they fall and there'll be a bizayon mitzvah, they may become possible if they fall. In other words, what's the difference? In other words, the other way around. In other words, when you're holding something neutral, maybe you can say mind over matter, you're not going to think about it. But if you're holding you're being a kaima mitzvah, then lachora, certainly you're thinking about it. If you're thinking about it, isn't that a tirda that it may fall? Before we see what the Ritva learns, how would you understand Rashi? That's what the Ritva himself says. I don't think that's what Rashi is saying. Well, I mean, let's read the Ritva then. V'yesh lefarish the tirda the lulav kevan the mitzvah shaitahi v'hi chaviva af al pisha mafna libo aleha k'tzas. However, eno mafna libo levatola. Certainly, he's thinking about the lulav. He's being mekayim the mitzvah. This is a mitzvah overis. He's being mekayim it by holding it. Clearly, he's thinking about it. But rather than taking his mind off of davening, rather than the lulav, the kavana of the lulav interfering with his davening, the kavana of the lulav would enhance his davening. What does this remind you of? What aspect of the mitzvah of lulav that you know could enhance the davening, could serve as a booster to the davening as opposed to interfering with the davening? We spoke about it twice. What did you say? I'm saying? Right, exactly. The issue of ritzui. We pointed out that the lulav is an instrument of ritzui. And so what's davening if not ritzui? In other words, it's a bakasha. And so rather than the lulav interfering with davening, rather than pull your mind off of davening, the lulav serves as an instrument to be magbir your kavana of ritzui, magbir your bakashas. Not only am I asking for rain with my lulav, I'm also asking for das and for refuah and for parnasa and for our kibbutz galios. And you know, the lulav is currently being used for all of that, so it's enhancing my kavana. That's the ritva. But Rashi appears that, in other words, according to the Ritva, we have a positive tirda. We have a tirda which is positive. Rashi said we have no tirda. Lo tarid. It appears to me that what Rashi is saying is that sometimes out of chavivus of a mitzvah, it becomes part of you and you don't view it as that which is a burden or you don't view it as that which is being carried. No one, you know, takes off his kippah for davening because maybe it'll fall off, you know, when you're shuckling. In other words, you view it as being part of you. It's not something which is being carried. So I think over here what Rashi is saying is that the chaviv of the mitzvah we view the lulav as an extension of our arms. And so just the same way, we're not afraid our fingers are going to fall off. We're not afraid our shirt's going to fall off. We're not afraid, you know, it's that our shoes are going to fall off. We're not afraid that the lulav is going to fall. It's simply a part. It's part and parcel of our persona. When we're mekayim the mitzvah. Okay, in any case, we have these two explanations. Then the Gemara moves over. Thank you, Yoni. Then the Gemara moves over to Minhag Anshei Yerushalayim. Right? Kant Kachaya Minhag Anshei Yerushalayim, that they would take the lulav wherever they went. They would take it to shul, they would carry it to shul, they would carry it from shul, they would take it to Bikur Cholim. They would take it to go learn with, etc. V'chule. We pointed out already that Anshei Yerushalayim, we already had this in a previous Gilgul, that according to the Rambam, it meant Dafka Anshei Yerushalayim, while Tosfos pointed out that Anshei Yerushalayim meant anyone who wants to be Mahadir in Lulav. What's the uniqueness of the people living in Yerushalayim? What other aspect does lulav have aside from lakicha?
In Yerushalayim?
Yeah.
Simcha,
right? The simcha. So maybe this was dafka part of the simcha of Anshei Yerushalayim, usmachtem ufnei Hashem elokeichem, to take it all the time. We saw Tosfos viewed it If you recall, the Tosfos had dealt with bracha over lasiyasa. Tosfos viewed it that Anshei Yerushalayim is anyone who wants to be mahader would follow this minhag. So if I'm not mistaken, Rav Shechter in his Nefesh HaRav somewhere along the way points out that Rav Soloveitchik was somech on the Tosfos, that anyone can take upon himself minhag Anshei Yerushalayim, and this Rav Soloveitchik viewed as his heter for carrying his lulav home from shul on Yontif. That I pointed out that in the sugi in Beitza, we see that even Beis Hillel, who says that we have a mitoch, that mitoch you can carry for ochel nefesh, you can carry for any tzorech, but you need a tzorech, you need some tzorech. And so the Mishnah says that carrying a lulav to shul for netilas lulav, that's a tzorech. Carrying a baby for a bris milah, that's a tzorech. But what's the tzorech of carrying it back from shul? So the Rav said, in Achinami, there, in other words, the tzorech would be to be mekayim, the minhag of Anshei Yerushalayim. So the Rav used to not take his esrog in an esrog carrier, right? But hold it, you know, like hold it like, you know, it's on the way back home from shul, his lulav and his esrog, that minhag Anshei Yerushalayim was his heter for carrying it home. If, yes?
Isn't the only issue, though, like,
if there's no Eruv?
So, but if you have an Eruv, then...
If there's no Eruv, assuming there's no Eruv, right? Once upon a time, right? In other words, people didn't have Eruv. Assuming there's no Eruv, so the heter to carry it back would be minhag Anshei Yerushalayim. What did the Rosh himself suggest as the makor for carrying your Arba Minim home? I sent you to the Rosh over there. So here I just simply, you know, quoted it very briefly. If you look in the Maram HaKomos, where the Rosh quotes the Mishnah, Beishami Yomrim Ein Motzina Sakatim V'lo Esalula V'lo Esever Torah Rishu Sarabim, it's not Ochel Nefesh, Ubeis Hillel Matirim, Ubegemara Piresh, Rabbeinu Chananel, Katan, the Metzius is Lemula, we're taking him not for a walk, but for a bris mila. Lulav, we're not stam walking around with a lulav, but Lotzesbo, Sefer Torah, Likrosbo, V'taima De Beis Hillel De Sharu, Mefarish Begemara Mitoch Shehutra Lehotza Letzorech, but that you still need a ktsat tzorech, you need a ktsorech mitzvah in order to be matir the tiltul. And so the Rosh concludes, v'chein l'holich svar mimahem lebei takneset, that's when you can carry a machzor to shul on Yom Tiv, v'af l'hachzira, what's the heter of carrying the machzor home on Yom Tiv? So the Rosh has three words, four words, dehitiru sofan, Mishum Tchilasan. What is that concept of Itiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan?
You can carry it back because you're allowed to carry it there.
Well, the other way around. If you couldn't carry it back, what would happen? You wouldn't carry it in the first place. Namely, Hitiru Sofan Mishum Tchilasan, because they wanted people to be able to have a machzor in shul, and the only way they'd have a machzor in shul is if they carry it. So we allowed them to carry it back, because if they couldn't carry it back, they wouldn't take it in the first place. Be afraid they'd lose it, afraid it'd be stolen, v'chule, v'chule. Namely, so you would use that as a heter also for arba minim, right? That if we would tell a person, you have to leave your arba minim in shul, so he wouldn't take it to shul altogether. He'll make a brach on the arba minim in his home, and he'll stand in shul for a halo without a lulav and esrog. So he tiru sofa mishum tchilasan. They were matir to take it back in order that people carry it there in the first place. Now you realize that's a big chiddush. I mean, that's what the Rav didn't want to be samach on that chiddush, and he was looking for another heter to bring it back. So he used the heter of Anshei Yerushalayim. So I brought you over here just you should be aware. This is not a pashat matter. There is a sefer of Rav Sternbach who's in the Eidach Haredes. He has a set of svarim called Tshuvas V'Hanhagos, some like five volumes. Anyway, it's in the Bar Ilan. So in the first volume, in Siman Shin Memchet, Sameach, the question is, Lahotzi Shofar Olulav B'Yom Tov Achar HaTfila Avur HaNashim. Is that considered to be a tzorech? Women aren't mechuyavot in Shofar Arbaminim. Is it a tzorech to take a lulav for a woman to be yotzei, or a shofar for a woman to be yotzei? Harosh mevi b'shem haravya demuter, aval ashagas aryeh oser. Umishum nachas ruach did hu, that the woman will feel good that she was mekayim a mitzvah, lo sherin on isra melechas hotzah b'yom tov. If you just to skip to the next paragraph of the tshuva, ha'olam medamin sheyom tov hutra melechas hotzah legamrei. In the minds of balabatim, you're allowed to carry a yom tov. Einam yodim shem motzim shelo letzarech nichshalim l'rov haposkim b'isra lav. In other words, that they don't realize that we're talking about din d'oraisa. In other words, that if there's no tzorech, stam to carry something in your pocket that you don't need, you're over an isra of hotzah, even according to Beis Hillel. The whole din of mitoch is only based on the fact that there's a tzorech. And then we have to define what's defined as a tzorech. So as to whether it's called a tzorech for a woman who is not mechuyevet, because she wants to, she enjoys being doing the mitzvah, is that called a tzorech? It's a machokis rishonim. Okay? So lemaisi, look in the last line. That since according to the Ashkenazic world, even if the woman is not mechuyevet in arba minim or shofar, but she has a kiyum mitzvah, and we know Rabbi Notam says that you make a bracha, so that's already enough to be called a tzorech. That's already enough to be called a tzorech. However, he points out, hearti, in other words, in the end of the third line, that the Rav Sternbach pointed out, al mina kama avrechim, that on Sukkos it's very common for young married couples, sheboim besukos lebeis haknesis im lulav ve'esrag, acharei hatfila lokhim halulav v'holchim le'achol etzel aviyim, o chamiyim. The young married couple goes to the parents or the in-laws for a sudas yontif. Ubesof hayom, and at the end of the day, mivim ha'arba minim ha'baisa l'tzarech machar. That, he views, it's a shah shaloshiach anashim shalo yetzu yidei chavasa. You can't say, well, maybe there's someone in the house who hasn't yet been yotzei at that time. Nimtza da'ovir al-yisr hotzah b'rishus ha'rabim b'yom tov shumen ha'torah. Ubesof she'asur min ha'torah l'matir in sofa mishum tchilasa. Sofa mishum tchilasan is a tremendous chiddush to say that, you know, it's even, we saw the Rosh says it, but the, you know, it's the Rav Sternbach said to say that we'll be matir and iser da oraisa kasa sofa mishum tchilasan. Anyway, so he leaves it as very problematic. You know, it's to simply carry your arba minim when no one is going to use them afterwards. When people normally go home from shul, so many times they go home and their kids are no tel arba minim. The wife is no tel arba minim. So there, you can say, okay, that already makes sense as a tzorech. But simply that you'll have it for tomorrow, wait until night, and at night, you know, it's drive back to your in-laws and pick up your arba minim. What's the idea to carry it? So he views it as being very, very problematic. Okay, so in other words, over here, the minagan she Yerushalayim could serve as a heter, namely that if they would go back from their in-laws' house holding the arba minim out of their boxes, you know, or it's the kind of minog anshe Yerushalayim, maybe that would be a heter. That's at least what the Rav felt. Okay? Then, just, you know, it's in the Gemara, when it deals with those activities that, I also point out the Mishnah Brura, pasuns like the Rosh. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Umikol makam ha'machzorim she'aviyam b'yom tov b'et ha'kneset u'misyarei migneva af al pi she'ein tzarech lahem od b'yom tov mutar aviyam lebeiso v'divrei hakol de'hetiru sofan mishum tchilasan yimloken lo yivim b'tchil b'et ha'kneset." Okay, so we have the Rosh and the Mishnah Berurah. The Rav was not that thrilled with it. Rav Sternbach was not that thrilled with it to use the heter of sofan mishum tchilasan. Yes?
Nowadays,
In terms of Rishus HaRabim.
No, I'm sorry, leave you in shul. Not only will be stolen, but like if you leave your mouse in shul, could get lucky, could get like misplaced. Is that also a concern?
So that's what the Rush says. The Rush and Mishnah Brura point that out. That you know, where it's that.
Doesn't he say if you get stolen?
He says, for example, that's not the, you know, where it's, but also.
So you
can
say like getting misplaced.
Misyare, Mikneva. You're afraid that you won't be able to get back. You go back and say Shabbos. Someone already put it somewhere. They put it on a shelf. They put it. In someone's, they thought, boom, to the shul. There are also things that happen when you leave things. You know, there's so many things that are left in the base medrash here. You know, the people just don't remember where they put them, or whatever. Okay, I don't want to say that important. Okay. One of the activities which is mentioned in the Gemara, a Yontif activity, is Nichum Avelim. Now, we know that if someone was sitting Shiva from before Yontif, and Yontif enters, then what happens to his Shiva? Those who are in Hilchos cancels. Okay, right. Okay, you have a Bechina tomorrow?
Yeah.
Okay. What happens if someone passes away during Yontif? So we know there are no Minhage Avelus during Yontif. No Minhage Avelus before Hesia during Yontif. What about Nichum Avelim? Is there Nichum Avelim during Yontif? So this is the Mechaber over here in Orech Chaim. Aval Pishen Avelus Beregel, even though there are no Nihuge Avelus during the Regel, but Bechol Zot, we have a gavra of an avil. The individual who lost the car of mishpacha, even though there are no nihugi avelos, but he remains a gavra of an avil. And therefore, there is an inyan of nicham avelim during yantif. That's what it says over here, that you would be take the arba minim with you when you went to be menachem avelim. Okay. The main sugya that is dealt with in the section that we've prepared for today is the sugya of Ta'a Bidvar Mitzvah. And here we have Rashi, both in the Mishnah and in the beginning of the Gemara, who gives us the rationale. Why do we say that even though normally when you are Ta'a, you're shogeg in an Aveira, you bring a Korban Chatos, why, if the Aveira that you were doing was connected with a mitzvah, why are you potter from the Korban Chatos? What's the p'tur? So what does Rashi say? Shehotzio birshus mitzvah, hayatarud b'mitzvah, umachashev v'asuk, umemaher la'asosa, umishum kach ta'a, v'shachach shehu Shabbos, V'kosava Rabbi Yossi ta'a bidvar mitzvah v'shagag bidavar bidvar kores pater mikorban. Similarly, on the top of Daf Ben Bezim at Aleph, lo shanu de pater ela shelo yotzi yedei chovas nentila kodem shotzio hashta tar b'mitzvah v'ta'a bidvar mitzvah. Avo yotza ba kodem shotzio tulo ta'a bidvar mitzvah v'lo tarid mehashta b'mitzvah la'asosa. What word does Rashi use both in the Mishnah and over here in the Gemara to explain the p'tur from a korban? Shogeg, you're chayev a korban. The ta'a is a reason to be mechayev you. What's the reason to pater you?
Tarud.
Excellent, tarud. What does tarud turn you from a shogeg into what? What category is there no korban? Mezid, you be chayev kares. Shogeg, generally, there is a korban, korban chatos. Where do we have a situation where there is no korban chatos? Not, if you're not a mezid and not a shogeg, but an onus. Tarud turns you into onus. Namely, that the tarud it takes it out of your realm of responsibility. In other words, that you are unable, at least karov la onus, you're unable to think logically when you are overwhelmed with this sense of mitzvah. Back in the beginning of the year, what sugya do we learn where tarud was mentioned in terms of patering an individual from doing mitzvos? Osik mitzvah pater mena mitzvah. We spoke over there about tirda, right? That the tirda doesn't allow you to concentrate on the mitzvah. You're anus. Anus rachmana patre. So over here, we have Rashi bringing in the Tirda as the source of the Ptur. So Gemara says, Rav Yossi Omer Yontamar Abaye, Lo Shanu Elo Shel Yotzebo, Avo Yotzebo, once you're at a Yotze, there's no longer a Tirda. Then already you'd be Chayev a Korban. So Gemara was bothered, when are you ever never Yotze? Ha Mida Agba HaNafik Bey? So we dealt with this in terms of Over Las Yasan, Kisha Hafacho. According to Rashi, what is Hafacho? Shelo kederech gedilas according to Rabbeinu Hananel, remember? Hafacho? switch hands. You switch hands. We saw it. We dealt with this already. Okay. Rav Amar, afilu teima shero hafacha, maskina jotzio bikli. What about l'chichay de dover acher? So we distinguish derech kava, derech pisa. This we discussed as well. Okay? Amar Rav Huna. Okay, now the Gemara moves over into an issue which is dealt with in the Shas Sugyos of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, both in the Seches Shabbos and in the Seches Psachim, that we find two options of how to understand the Ptur of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. Amar Rav Huna, Omer HaRiyavi Rav Yossi, Ola Sa'ov Shenimtzes Bein Ha'agapayim, that you find an Ola Sa'ov among the ofos that are in the corner where normally you shech the chatas of, and therefore kasavar chatas ofu v'achala, the kohen is allowed, is supposed to eat from chatas of. He's not allowed to eat from olas of. That's an isra of me'ila. So locha is patur. Ma'ikam ashmalan ta'a bidvar mitzvah patur haynu hach. Mahu detema hasam hu deta'a bidvar mitzvah patur haynu da'avad mitzvah. Aval hacha deta'a bidvar mitzvah lo avad mitzvah emalo. Kamash malam. Namely, the Gemara raises as a havamina and a maskana whether the din of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah is only if you are actually doing the mitzvah. That is the havamina. And the maskana is even if you are not actually doing the mitzvah. Correct? Even if you're so mistaken that you're not actually doing the mitzvah. The case of lulav, you are going to actually do the mitzvah. You're going to be nota lulav. In the case of the olasa of, the tirda is such that you're not going to do the mitzvah. If we say that, like we saw earlier, by the lulav, it's even if you don't do the mitzvah, then we pointed out what was the ptur, what's it based on? You're no longer a shogeg. You're an onus. That's irrelevant if you're going to do the mitzvah, not doing the mitzvah. Right? In other words, you're an onus because you plan to do the mitzvah. The tirda planning to do the mitzvah, you haven't yet been yotze, and you want to be yotze, that tirda patters you from the korba. That turns you into an onus. But if we say that the principle is that only when you are technically actually going to do a mitzvah, that's when we have the ptur, how do you understand that? What svara is there to distinguish between whether you're going to do a mitzvah or you're not going to do a mitzvah? What over here is a havamin of our Gemara, that maybe only if you're actually going to do a mitzvah. Chor over here, there's no svara. This would simply be a gzeras hakasuv, namely that the context of a korban chatas in the Torah is when you're involved in shigaga b'divrei rishus. But if we're going to actually be doing a mitzvah, that is simply not a case where the Torah was mechayev you a korban. If you would as gzeras hakasuv, this is not similar to the classic chatas of the Torah. Now again, in our sugya, we're dealing with a hava mina and a maskana. Within the sugya in Shabbos and in Psachim, we have two deos. We have an ika da'amri. We have a dea that there's a ptur of Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah, even if you're not actually going to do a mitzvah, like the mila of a Sunday to do it on Shabbos. So l'maisa, you're not going to be doing a mitzvah. So we have two deos over there as to whether that's going to be a ptur from a korban chatas or not. And hu hadin in the Gemara in Psachim, Tosfos over here points out black and white, that pluk the hib psachim, that which in our Gemara is a hava mina and a maskana, over there in terms of the shpud shel noser, mixing it with the shpud shel tzli, we have two deos in the Gemara in Psachim. So again, in our Gemara, it's clear. That's why Rashi on the Mishnah and on the Gemara said it's a din of tirda, because our Gemara only raises that second day as a havamina. But within the sugyos, both in Psachim and in Shabbos, it's mamish two deos as to what exactly is a ptur. This is all in a hakdama for the Rambam. If you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Shgagos, the Rambam has three halachos that deal with Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah. And I wrote them down in the chronological order in which they founded the Rambam, Halacha Ches, and then Halacha Yud, and then Halacha Tetzayim. But I would like to discuss them in reverse order, just to sharpen the issue which is involved. Let's start off with the Rambam, the last Rambam, Perek Beis Halacha Tetzayim. It's the last halacha in the Perek. Okay? Mi shehaya lefanav, b'leilei Pesach, tzli shel Pesach, v'nosar min hakotshim. Okay? This is the Gemara Pesachim, that you have in front of you, that which if you eat will be a mitzvah, and that which you if you eat will be an avera. V'niskaven le'echol tzli shehu shel mitzvah. You want to eat a mitzvah. V'shagag, v'achal hanosar. And now our question is, are you chayev a korban chatos on eating the nosar? So the Rambam paskins, harei ze chayev chatos. Why? Shaharei lo asa mitzvah ba'achila zo, v'chein kol kayotze bo. The Rambam says that we don't have the p'tur of tabid var mitzvah if you're not actually going to do the mitzvah. He paskins like that lishna kama in Psachim and in Shabbos, and like the Havamin of our Gemara. Correct? Mm-hmm. And why he paskins like that Lishna Kama, even though normally they're on Paskin Lishna Basra, so Kesef Mishnah over there points out that way your Mamait Machokes, Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish, etc. The Rambam chose that Deya. Okay, nothing against the Rambam. In other words, he chose to say that we have Gzeras HaKosuv. We have Gzeras HaKosuv that you only have Ta'abid Var Mitzvah if you're actually going to do the Mitzvah. But if you, in the end, you don't do the mitzvah, then you're going to be chayav, even though you're tarud. We don't care about tirud, though. We care whether you do the mitzvah or not. That's halacha tetzayim. Now let's go back one. Hamotzi es halulav biyom tov rishon shel chag, shecholiyos b'shabos kedei lotzeis bo, our gemara. Vehaviro dalad amos b'shus harabim b'shogeg patur shaharei b'rishus hotzi. V'chein, hashochet es haPesach b'yom yudalet shechalios b'Shabbos, v'nodelo achar kach shemashlu habalim es yedeihem o mesu o nitmeu kodem shchita o nimtza treifa b'seter g'lo nokuv me'ayim o ureya, namely that he was shochet in a place where he wasn't supposed to be shochet. It's yantif, right? Or Shabbos, I'm sorry. It's Shabbos. And he was shochet that which there is no mitzvah to be shochet, because it's all a mistake. It's a mistake. This is an animal which is a treifa. The halacha is, hareza patur mishum sheshachat birishus. We have the din of tabid var mitzvah, because he had the tier to the mitzvah, even though he didn't do the mitzvah. Correct? Avol nimtza ba'al mum, ahoyes ha-trefa gluya, then chayev chatas di hayal ha-livdok, ha-karkach yishchot, v'chein kol kayotze bo. Okay, I'm sorry, the next line simply got in by accident. Just cross it out. It's a big mistake. Just, you know, jumped from the other one. Okay, so over here, the Rambam in Perek Yud, l'chora, is soser, that which he wrote in Perek, in Halacha Tetzayim. That in Perek Yud he passes like the Maskana of our Gemara, and in Halacha Tetzayin he passes like the Havamin of our Gemara, like the first Deya in the Gemara in Psachim, that you need actually a mitzvah. No, you know, it's very hard to say the Rambam associates himself from Halacha Yud to Halacha Tetzayin. What distinction lechora could you make between these two? Again, our question is, what's the p'tur? Halacha Yud says the p'tur is tirda, even if there's actually no kiyum ha-mitzvah. Halacha Tetzayin says that the p'tur is kiyum ha-mitzvah. Tirda alone is not enough. You need an actual kiyum ha-mitzvah. That's the havamin of our sugya. Gemara rejects it. But it's a day in Psachim and in Shabbos. What's the mistake in Halacha Yud, and what's the mistake in Halacha Tetzayin?
The halacha yogi wasn't supposed to. He did hotzah, which he wasn't supposed to do, and then.
How many objects are we dealing with in halacha yud, and how many objects are we dealing with in halacha tetzai?
One versus two.
Okay. In other words, in halacha tetzayin, we have two objects. We have the tzli shel pesach, and we have the nosar. And the mistake was that he chose object B over object A. In halacha yud, we're dealing with one object, one korban pesach, one set of arba minim. He made a mistake within that one set. So maybe the Rambam says that when we're dealing with one set, and you made a mistake within the one set, there the tirda alone is enough to pat you. When we're dealing with two objects, you know, it's a different sort of mistake. There, we have a different track, and there we say that only if you're going to be mekayim the mitzvah do we have a ptur. I can't really think of a logical reason to distinguish, but you know, you could say on the level of gzeres hakasuv is only when we have two objects, then we require bedafka a mitzvah as opposed to one object. I'm not sure. But then we go back to halacha ches, okay, where the Rambam begins the principle. Kol ha'osa mitzvah min ha'mitzvos. U'bichlal asiyasa na'aseis aveira shachayev n'alei kares bishgaga. Hareze potter michatos. This is the concept of tov bidvar mitzvah. Mimnei sha'osa birishus. And then he gives examples. Ketzad. Haba al yevimto v'harehi nida v'hu lo yada. Hareze potter michatos. Shreyasa birishus. There's a mitzvah of boel yevimto. And so in the course of this mitzvah, he was over in Aveira, there's no korban chatos. Aval, that's so far so good. Then he says, Aval imba al ishto, which chor is also a mitzvah, hare hi nida chayef chatos. Why? Vipnei shelo sho'ala v'achar kach yiv'o. He didn't ask her. He should have asked her, are you a nida? Aval yevimto, ein aragil ba kadei lishola. What my nafkamina, whether he feels comfortable or uncomfortable, what has to do with the price of tea in China?
Because it's whether it was discernible, how realistic is it that you could have avoided the situation?
In other words, that we need, so what factors do, or what creates over here the tirda? What creates over here the tirda?
It's like,
that we have a certain degree of what we'll call in Hebrew lachatz. There's a certain tension that we need. Has to be a case where you have a certain built-in tension. Now, without the built-in tension, then there's not going to be a ptur. Aval. Then he continues. V'chein misha hayulo shtei tinokos echad lomol b'shabbos v'echad lomol be'erev shabbos o be'echad b'shabbos. V'shachachu mal shteihem b'shabbos patur michatos shere yeshlo reshus lamur echad mehem b'shabbos v'shabbos dechui etzlo u'mitzvus asei af al pi shehen shnei gufin ho'il uzmano bohul eino medaktik. Again, with that, the Rambam uses the same principle. You need a tirda, which is linked in with tension. Zmano bohul. So the tension can be from the uncomfortableness of asking a question. The tension can be because the clock is ticking. We need tension. Aval im lo haya echad mehen roi lamo b'shabbos v'shachachu mo b'shabbos misheno roi b'shabbos, then chayev chatos, because then there's no tension. Then there's no clock ticking. If there's no clock ticking, because they're not, it's not roi to be nimo until Sunday, so then there's not going to be... Okay. So the question is, the Rambam over here has three halachos. In each of them, he gives different criteria for Torah b'dvar mitzvah. He didn't mention tension in halacha tetzayin. He didn't mention tension in halacha yud. Right? Again, in halacha ches, it appears you need tirda plus tension. Tirda of a mitzvah plus tension. In halacha yud, only tirda of a mitzvah. And in halacha tetzayin, no, none of that is enough. You need that actually you're going to do a mitzvah. So the problem is, and this, you know, I'm just putting on your table, that anyone who wants to understand this world of Torah Dvar Mitzvah has to realize that there are three worlds of Torah Dvar Mitzvah and has to know when to apply each of these different principles. Okay, so just pointing out that this is the, you know, this is something that had we had more time, you know, we would probably get involved in, but we don't have that much time. Okay, just to complete the sugya, we move over to the case of Hashochet es Hatamid She'eno Mavukar Ki Hochaso B'Shabbos. So the half of the Gemara was that there was over here a tirda. You took it from the right place, but you were tarred and you didn't exactly check the details. And the maskana is no, that you were b'chal a posheya. You took it totally from the wrong place, and that has nothing to do with tar. You were a posheya, and that's a different world. The Tosus points out on Eino Mavukar Bihilchoso, Afilu Nimtzatam, Mishum Detoen Bikur Dalad Yamim Kodem Shrita, Yalefla Mipesach Bigazera Shava. What appears from Tosfos, Afilo Nimtzatam, Yishum de Toman Bikur Dalad Yamim. One second.
Meaning he took it from the totally wrong place. Maybe like he could have gotten lucky and there was no mum, but the point was that he needs like a certain waiting time, which if he took it from this place, it clearly didn't have this waiting period.
Mm-hmm. So over here, the din of Bikur, according to Tosfos, the din of checking it, is it a ma'akev or not a ma'akev?
It's a ma'akev.
Appears from Tosfos. That it's a ma'akev, right? That the korban would be possible b'dieved if you weren't mevakir it, even if it happened to be tam. Look at the language of the Rambam. Ein pochasin mishisha troim ha'mevukorim b'lishkas troim shebemikdosh. V'yumuchanim kodem yom hakrava ba'arba yomim, va'af al pi she'im evakrin oso mitchila, lo hayishochtem es hatamid ad she'im evakrin oso shnia kodem shchita lo'or ha'avukos, u'mashkin oso bekos sholzav kedei she'inoach lehi pashet. What does the Rambam think in terms of this din of Bikur? Is it a lechatchila or is it a ma'akev? So I wasn't able to like one way or another from the Rambam, but the Minchas Chinuch says lecholreim avar velo biker dal yamim kodem o b'shogeg vaday day im yevaker kodem shchita shelo yehebo mum hen betamid shelo yehe mum b'hen betamid dula matzinu ikuva v'hadi alfina menayin l'tamid shetarach bikur haino lechatchila. In other words, tzarech tamid achar v'tzarech tamid acher ayin sham. But Tosfos, he quotes that afilu b'dieved our korban pasul. However, b'emes uchidish gadol aritzil aramam shevi din zed the pasul b'di'eved. So I'm not. I'm not sure what in Tosas clearly says it's pasul b'di'eved. Minchas Chinuch says ma pitom that it should be pasul b'di'eved as long as the bottom line is that it's a tamid and that you checked it right before shchita. Or that should be enough. But it's not clear for me what his diuk was in the Rambam.
He's deducting from the Rambam that it's
that's not ma'akev. That's not a ma'akev. Okay, Adkan. Thank you very, very much. I hope you had a meaningful journey through Masechta Sukkah. Learning is always a journey. You know, sometimes you get halacha, sometimes you get agada, sometimes you get things that are shayach to Sukkah, sometimes you get things that are shayach to Shas. It's Baruch Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us this wonderful journey through Shas. So you should all have bracha v'atzlacha in terms of your learning. And to go mechayel l'chayel, those who are getting involved in, every one of you is going to be involved in some way, be mashpia and others, be mashpia via teaching. So you should find that which hopefully will connect with those that you're teaching in order to be able to create the kesher which is necessary. Okay, v'atzlacha rabbah.